And now for something completely different. Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Expository Thursday. Expository Thursday. As we work together to know the letter better into the narrative of the Book of Acts, we travel to understand what things the Lord requires of us as we learn to apply God's timeless truths in our lives. In Acts chapter 17, we find Paul engaging in debates with the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers. Ooh. It's important to note that debates themselves are not wrong as long as they're not driven by a spirit of superiority or an argumentativeness. Chris, that's one word, argumentativeness. Wow. Christians should rely on the power of God's truth, which in itself provides all the assurance and encouragement needed. Next, when presenting the gospel to those who have never heard it or have had limited exposure to Christianity, it might sound strange or foreign to them. However, when people's hearts are opened by the Holy Spirit, there is often a curiosity and an asking for more. This is an opportune moment to continue sharing and providing further insight. As ambassadors of the kingdom, our aim is to share the beauty of our faith when people express interest and to be ready to share. Be ready to share in season and out of season. And finally, Paul's approach at Mars Hill demonstrates a classic method of using his audience's own knowledge to lead them to a presentation of the gospel. Listen to what I said. This will help you immensely if you're ever wondering about sharing your faith. Listen. Paul's approach at Mars Hill demonstrated a classic method of using his audience's own knowledge to lead them to the presentation of the gospel. Similarly, in a similar sense, guided by the Holy Spirit, my brother Billy used something I was loved, comic books, he used it, to illustrate the difference between good and evil, connecting it to God and Satan. The Lord knows how to make it right and to speak the truth into people's hearts. Is that cool or what?
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Yikes. Spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. I mean, just so much more. How much more? A lot more. Just a lot more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? You can email us during the show, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us during the show, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you make that phone call, you'll end up talking to Dynamite D.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid a Dynamite.
Talking to Dynamite D is like getting an email of encouragement.
That's a blessing.
It's awesome sauce, baby. That is cool stuff when you get that. Here's the bottom line. Maybe you've got a prayer request and you're just like, I need prayer for this. This thing is just pushing past me. Don't know how to get to it. Great. Let's take our faith, your faith, my faith, D's faith, the audience's faith. Let's put it together. Let's petition the Lord. Maybe you've got something that you're just like, I cannot believe by the grace of God, the Lord has done this masterfully wonderful thing for me. I don't even know what to do with it. Share it. Tell somebody. We'll listen. We love stuff like that. It's fantastic. You don't have to speak brilliantly. You just have to share. the Lord will take it and make something of it. Maybe you got something else you just got on your mind, you just want to share. It's not for kvetching. You know, it's like, well, you know, there's a lot of bad stuff going on. Has been since the garden. I'm just going to point that out.
Tell me about it.
There's been a lot of bad stuff going on. I mean, even their own kids, one of their kids committed murder. I mean, it's been bad for a long time, right? But that's why we love the good news, and we're here to encourage and strengthen one another, Hebrews 10:25 and Hebrews 3:13. So it's that type of mindset, that type of attitude. And we also do trivia. I have a feeling you guys will be able to get this. Who dreamed, not who spoke, but who dreamed that the sun and the moon and 11 stars would bow down to him? Who had that dream? If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. On top of that, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Unfortunately, all paper airplane communications have been shut down by the Airplane Communication Association, sending it from one city to another. So you can't get it through with the airplane, the paper airplane thing. So I'm just telling you right now. Paper airplanes not getting through. Yeah, it's not happening. Hey, that was a nice place. That's the Debbie Downer song. I love that song. That's a great song. Okay, that's the trivia question to give you a chance to figure it out. Please don't forget, one of the things we've been telling people, encouraging people, we're trying to anyway, is to for you guys to tap into grace. You know, you're tapping into a lot of things. Some people tap into politics. Some people tap into, you know, ideas for money. You tap into this. You tap into that. Why don't you tap into grace? It's there for you. You can't earn it, so you got to tap into it. Get it? And when you tap into it, you receive it. That's something I want to encourage everybody to do. Let's get to the text. Amazing, amazing material. All scripture really is amazing. And yes, I agree with people. And I know I actually had somebody get mad at me a few years ago saying, you can't say that this part of the Bible is better than this part of the Bible. It's like, I would rather read Daniel than mold laws any day of the week. So don't tell me that. That's absurd.
Everybody has their little points.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's got something that they like. But that doesn't mean it's not all the Word of God. Just not really as interested in the mold laws as I am in the prophecies of Daniel. Sorry. Anyway, here we go. Let's get it into here. Acts chapter 17, and kind of picking this up about verse 18, I believe it is, and verse 18 of Acts 17. So you got Acts 17, verse 18 says this. He also had a debate with some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers. When he told them about Jesus and his resurrection, they said, this babbler has picked up some strange ideas. Others said he's pushing some foreign religion. Wow. And they took him to the Council of Philosophers and said, come and tell us more about this new religion, they said. So let's start right there. This is a great place to launch for us to understand. Acts 17, Paul is engaging in a debate with the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers. It's important to note this, and I want you to understand this, and it is important to get this, that debates by themselves are not wrong. Okay? I want you to understand that. Right in the scripture. Jesus had debates with people. People have debates with people. That's the exchange of ideas, and you present your idea and you share about it. The problem that's happened with a lot of debates is we think of debates as like the presidential debates and stuff like that. That's really not how it was ever. It wasn't until television that changed that way. Typically, a debate is somebody makes a presentation, somebody else makes a presentation, then they're both available for full-on questions and discussions about what's going on back and forth. I mean, that's just a normal part. There's nothing weird about it, nothing wrong with it. That is substantially different than having an argumentative spirit and looking to be argumentative with somebody. So there's some people in my life that I have a lot of love for, okay? I'm not going to mention who they are, but I have a lot of love for them, but, you know, kind of on the in-law side of things. And I actually enjoy one of them very, very much. Because so when we talk, he really pries in there. So we debate, but we debate in a kind of a really cool way where he gets to say what he thinks, I get to say what I think, and we don't sit there and throw, like, knives at each other. Then there's another person in the family that I'm just looking to go, zing, zing, zing. Now, is that right? No.
That's not.
No, it's not right. It's honest.
At least you know it's not right.
it's wrong. And why? Because it's irritating. And I get, you know, and I'm just like everybody else going, oh, and it doesn't matter what the educational difference is. It doesn't matter any of that. So what matters is I just seem to have a lot more compassion and spirituality towards the one as opposed to the other. Is that a good thing? No, it's not a good thing. But what we have to do is recognize something. You don't have to win an argument or a discussion ever. Okay, when I went into radio, I'm just telling you the truth, with another broadcasting company, rhymes with Malum, but starts with an S. Anyway, so when I did that, the instructions that were given to me were very specific. You wonder what they were? They were never lose an argument on air. Guess what? That's bad advice. Now, I love that person, just so you can know that. And that person was very instrumental in my life in getting me into radio. But that's bad advice. Because what it is it's deciding who wins and who loses by human standards. And that's wrong. When you share the truth, it is the truth. There is nothing. If the person is a better arguer than you or a better debater than you, got it. I understand that. There's always going to be that in every realm. There's fantastic Christian people that argue really well and debate very well. And there's secular people. And there's, you know, kind of a mix and all that thing. That's fantastic. But that has nothing to do with the truth. And the truth does not change. Even if you don't win the argument by human standards, if the truth is declared, that's all that matters. Because the rest of it is up to God. In other words, it's God's responsibility to back up his word, not your responsibility, because it's not your word, it's his word. And so a great way to understand this is 2 + 2 = 4. Yes, but if you take the equation of the time index and remove the negative with the positive and the participles go like, and you're just like going, wow, I can't even follow that. But 2 + 2 = 4. It doesn't change. It's just true. And even if the person outspeaks you, doesn't matter, because the truth is all the assurance and all the statements you need to make. Even if the person feels superior in their discussion and they've outwitted you, as long as you spoke the truth, you have done well. Because your job is to share what God wants to be shared, not to win every argument by human standards. You get that? That's really important. You want to know why? Because of pride.
Let me ask you this question real quick, Dave. When we open that scripture and see the Stoic philosophers, what is that particular word?
Okay, so there's different kinds of philosophers that run through different kinds of reasonings. So and I probably should have done a little more prep on that. That's my fault because I have this whole teaching on it and I didn't bring any of that with me. But one type of philosophy teaches this. So if you can follow it, you'll really understand. A equals B, B equals C, therefore A equals C. In other words, it's a logical approach. So A equals B, B equals C, therefore A equals C, because they're all like, so that's logic. That's one form of philosophy. Another form of philosophy is tied into the soul. And what does the soul and how does the soul respond? So one's based on logic, one's based on emotion. There's another one that's based on a numerical value. There's all these different philosophies that are available to mankind, and none of them are true. But they're cool in the sense that they're like unique and thinking and like, wow, that's really bizarre. It's kind of like, well, I always think of ice cream, so maybe I should use something else. It's kind of like posters, okay? If you have a poster you really like, and there's another poster of the same image, but it's done completely different, another poster of the same image, that's kind of what you're talking about when you're talking about different philosophies. They paint a different picture of the same thing.
Got it.
That help? Okay. My fault for not doing better on that, though, so I do apologize for that. All right. Back to the trivia question, by the way. The trivia question we were asking, who was the guy, it's the dude, who dreamed that the sun and the moon and the 11 stars bowed down to him? And the answer is Joseph! This is why he got in so much trouble. Because he had a dream. That's not even his fault. You can't force your own dreams. Anyway, I'm just having fun today. Leave me alone. All right, we'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience? Imagine yourself on a rocket ship racing at 1,000 miles an hour into space. Once there, you can sense the power and the presence of the majestic and the divine. You forget about your troubles and your fears, and you just float in peace without a worry in the world. There are no struggles, no pain, no discomfort. It's soothing, calm, comfortable. But then, the show starts. And you realize that none of that stuff has anything to do with the show. What were you thinking? The David Spoon Experience, only for the brave of heart and the bored.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Bibles are very cool looking. You can have them electronically. You can have them in your phone. You have them in your computer. There's tons of apps. There's also cool looking book Bibles. I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there. It's great. Here's the bottom line. All that's fancy and fantastic and useless if you don't read it and believe it and process it. For those that are trying to figure out, first of all, well, why is it that the Bible is its own unique entity? What's the deal in that? Well, the same breath that went into creating Adam, which was creating creation of man, that same breath went into the Bible. And so 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is God-breathed. That's the breath of God. And the breath of God that went into Adam is the breath of God that goes into the book, which is why this is a unique book. And then people get really upset, and they go, well, hold on now. Hold on now, Dave. The problem there is, you know, that there's just so many people that have been a part of writing the Bible. In fact, there's about 40 authors spanning about 3,000 years in all different types of positions in life. But here's the great thing about Christian faith. If you believe that God created the universe, you're going to step out on that big ledge and go, well, if he created the universe, he can probably write a book. Well, the amazing part about the book itself is not just the self-proclamations of the book, but you get into the prophecies, and it's an amazing, amazing element that every single prophecy has been fulfilled exactly, and yet there are some to come, and we will see those fulfilled. But while you're engaging in the Word of God, here's something you need to be aware of that Christians do not recognize. That word where it says, for the Word of God is alive, is zone in the Greek. If we were doing a Greek word, that'd be zone. And that word means alive, to live. Jesus used that word in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, where he says, behold, I am alive, and I live forevermore. Same word. And the word of God is alive. And you think, well, this is just a book. It is just a book. Except for when you're reading the Word of God and the Holy Spirit connects you to the Word of God, it becomes something altogether different.
If Jesus.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. So now our very good friend, Dynamite D, asked a good question. And so what did I do? I looked in one of my study references.
I was just being nerdy. People don't know, like,
I know. You're much more nerdy than they know. That is funny. So I'm going to give you, this is from one of my study Bibles. So just listen as I go through it. This might help you a little bit on the Stoic and the Epicurean, okay? All right, here we go. The people of the Roman Empire were characterized by great diversity of religious beliefs. Epicureanism, seeking tranquility as the highest good. In other words, that's all the emotional, I just want to feel good. I don't care. Logic, I just want to be. Just, it's legal good. I mean, that's Epicurean, okay? And then Stoicism means being free from passion and passively accepting everything in life as inevitable or an impersonal fate. In other words, it's going to happen. This is what it is. It's more of a, this is just how life is, and go with it. And then there's the logic one and so on and so forth. So I kind of added one in there because there's like four other ones, but that's what those are.
Oh, wow.
So I just want to give you that extra information.
Job,
there you go. All right. Okay, let's go back to our triv question. That's right. I have an answer for those things. Trivia question. And then we got our jokes, and I've got these jokes are so good. Nah, I don't care what anybody says. All right, here we go. To whom did God give the covenant of circumcision? First person. Okay. To whom did God give the covenant of circumcision? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Who's the guy that God said, I got one for you? Come on. It's a little bit funny. All right, so we do have somebody who is going to answer the trivia question. It's not a hard one, so I'm not expecting people to, like, freak out or anything like that. So we'll go ahead and send them on through. Go ahead and do that. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David. It's Jay. How are you?
I'm doing really well, Jay. How are you doing?
Oh, hot.
You know, I've heard that in Texas it can be hot. I cannot really relate in my 68-degree studio. I'm being honest, but I can relate when I go out of the studio.
Oh, believe me, I get a little Epicurean through just living vicariously through you.
Excellent, excellent, excellent line. That was really
and
good.
And I may be wrong here, but I think it was Abraham.
That is correct, Amanda!
Not Abram yet, right?
No, it was actually, so that's actually a really good question. So at this point, it's Abraham in the sense that he's at Genesis 17, whereas Abram is 12, and then now we're at Genesis 17, so I'm pretty sure the name flip happened, and then this happened, you know, afterwards. So yeah, so he's Abraham, not Abram, would be correct.
Wonderful.
Excellent
great show
job.
Today, man.
All right, brother, we love you. Everybody's praying
love
for you.
Too.
And again, only takes a moment for your miracle. Remember that.
There you go.
All right.
I'm believing it. I'm not hung on to that text.
All right, bro. God bless you.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, so we don't have time to do the jokes yet. I'll do them later. But they're good, so I'm doing them. So just you might as well just buckle in. That's what's going to happen. All right, let's go back to the text. So he's talking about this thing. There's something that I do want to point out. I don't want to spend a lot of time because I want to get to this other portion. But he does say this. So he's having this debate, and he tells them about Jesus and the resurrection. So you can do a lot of things in sharing with people and talking and that whole process. But do not forget something about the Christian faith and sharing the Christian faith. This is about a resurrection, right? If Jesus didn't resurrect, like, okay, bye. So you might be able to live five more extra years if you're super healthy, or you can just say, so if there's no, Paul said, if there's no resurrection, we're of all people most miserable. Hey, that's right. The resurrection is at the core of the gospel, and people cannot afford to forget that. While the death of Jesus stopped, and this is a great theological point if you can catch it, the death of Jesus stopped the friction between us and God, the resurrection of Jesus created the relationship positive with God. So the death covers the, he's not mad at you right now. But the resurrection creates the, oh, and he wants to hang out with you part. So you have to understand what they do or what the points are in the process. You need both, so don't get weird. But without the resurrection, you know, there's nothing. There's no eternal life to enjoy. And that's why it's crucial. So Paul's like, look, when he told them about Jesus and the resurrection, then they said this babbler has picked up some strange ideas. Why? Because resurrection. Resurrection. I mean, just to be honest, all of Star Wars has used a resurrection of sorts to give it its storyline. You know that, right? Because, oh, well, through the dark power, you can have this person can be saved and da-da-da. It's like, that's the whole storyline. Hey, the resurrection, everybody's looking for eternal life. The only one that actually has it is Jesus. Everybody is seeking for the fountain of youth. Why? So they can live forever. But you can't live forever except with Jesus. The resurrection is the core. And so they say this Pabler has picked up some strange ideas, and he's pushing some foreign religions. They took him to the Council of Philosophers and come and tell us more about this new religion, they said. So they're fascinated by the process. So here's what I want to say. Presenting the gospel to those who've never heard it or have had limited exposure to Christianity, it might sound strange or foreign to them. However, when people's hearts are open, especially by the power of the Holy Spirit, there's a curiosity. If you're ever talking to somebody and they're being curious, that it's not a buying question. That's what they do in sales. It's not a buying question. It's a tell me more. What does that mean? It's an opportune moment to continue sharing. Remember, as the ambassadors of the kingdom, it's our aim to share the beauty of our faith. But it's also our responsibility to be ready to share the beauty of our faith. In other words, you might say, oh, wait, I got to shower first. Or wait, I've got to do this first. Or wait, I got to go to Witnessing 101. Or I've got to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John 16 times before I witness. Or I got to do this, I got to do this. Hey, there was this guy, and he was in a cemetery, and Jesus cast out these spirits. And then Jesus said, go tell everybody. Didn't have him put on a suit. Didn't have him go to Witness 101. Just tell people what I did. You know what you need to be a witness? Availability. You don't need. Well, what about the Romans Road? It's great. Use it if you can. Or what about tracks? Or what about Jack Chick tracks? Or what about this? Or what about going through? Great, 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 great. That none of that even matters if you're not making yourself available. Make yourself available, right? The Bible says to be ready in season and out of season, which means that sometimes it doesn't seem like it's the right time. That doesn't mean it's not the right time. It's just not the right time in your mind. Get that?
Ooh, good one, Dave.
You know, I have too much fun on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Yesterday was a great show, but I have way too much fun on
Tuesdays.
Little
pat the stuff on the back.
Yeah. Just... It's funner, though. So because it's more fun, I have more fun. And these jokes are funny, by the way. So
we can't escape them.
You're not escaping them. All right, we'll take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Can't stand the skill. Can't stand the shame.
If you're a small business owner with a website that is ugly, outdated, or just plain non-existent, you're probably missing out on a lot of business opportunities. Unfortunately, the web design industry is not a friendly place for busy small business owners. A typical web design agency charges roughly $90 per hour to build a simple business website, which means you'll spend thousands up front, even for a bare-bones site. But the do-it-yourself option is a road that often leads to headaches and hardships. Here at Cowpunch Sites, we've pioneered a fresh and affordable website subscription model. For just $57 per month, we'll design and build a custom professional website you'll love to show off. And on top of all that, we'll continue to manage your website, making all the updates and changes you'll need for as long as you're a subscriber. It's sort of like having an in-house web designer at a tiny fraction of the cost. Find out how we're different at cowpunchsites.com. Check out what Cowpunch Sites can do for you at cowpunchsites.com.
Hey there, it's Amazing Jennifer, and I am helping out the David Spoon Experience. As you may know, I basically run the KAAM radio station.
Amazing!
And Dr. Dave is looking for a few good people to join and become representatives, ambassadors, and stewards of this here radio ministry. Now, you may be thinking, well, I'd love to get involved, but I'm not very qualified for ministerial positions. Well, the truth is that because you are a child of our Heavenly Father, that you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you seek to live by the power of the Holy Spirit, you have all you need to be a part of this ministry. But Jennifer, don't I need to be perfect? No. Just go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Click on the three lines at the top right of the website, and then click on the Ambassadors Initiative link. Just fill out the form, and we will reach out to you. But sorry, no parking tickets will be paid for you as an ambassador through this position. You are on your own with that.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. There you go. So check it out. There is, I put something new up there, and now I can't even remember what it is. I don't know. You've been getting older. I don't know. All I know is I worked out today, and I was telling T, it was terrible. You know, you work out, and then you come back, and you're supposed to feel good or whatever. That didn't happen. Just so you can know. I think the people in the gym were worried that I was going to keel over. It's like, uh-oh, what's wrong with that guy?
And if you can't shout sight, you'll have to face a penalty. And as with every penalty, you
should... Oh, welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, where I will open this up by saying I am a little bit sorry that I'm being so arrogant. Not entirely, but a little bit.
You're all right, Dave. You're
right. A little bit. I mean, but it's because I have so much fun. I mean, you know how that goes, you know.
You're good.
It's like when my wife and I are playing any kind of competition and I win and I go, ha-ha! You know, it's like everybody
does. Uh-oh, no comment on that, though.
Yeah, yeah. Well, she wins most of the time, so I don't really care about that. So when I do win, I feel I am entitled.
I got you.
I'm entitled to dance every once in a while. All right, here we go. that happened with Joshua and Ashley and me, and we were playing a computer game I had never played before, and they had played, right? And I was guessing, right? And after the second round, I was in first place, and they were like, how is that possible? And I'm like, in your face! You know? It's like, that's right.
What a brother in the faith.
Yes. Wow. Okay. This is a very interesting question. So listen to what I say. It's a good trivia question. Who led the Israelites into Canaan? Not who led them actually into Canaan? Get that? What I'm saying right there? Into Canaan. If you think you know who actually led them into Canaan, then you can reach out to us. 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 as well. You can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Lots of cool stuff on the website, so I do want to encourage you to go there. Plus, that is an opportunity to join us, partner with us in the ministry. The finances are important because without them, we don't do the show. As simple as can be. And then how can I rev up my jet? Okay, I'm just kidding. Anyway, you gotta help out because that's what keeps it all going. Romans 12:13, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. If you can do that with our group, that's great. If you can't, you can still pray for us. We count on you for that. Check out hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
hemustincrease.org.
hemustincrease.org.
Yeah, that's me bouncing around. That's what happens in my brain. Bing, 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 bing. Okay, somebody's ready to answer a trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Phase 10.
I'm sorry, who's this?
This is Phase 10.
Hi. How are you?
Good. It's pretty darn hot outside.
Yeah, I mean, it's hot out, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that's all right.
It's like a... for Scandinavian, it's a sauna.
Yeah, it's like, that's right. It's like, see, now there's a classic Jewish album. Oi, it's so humid. Oi, it's so humid. Oi, it's so humid. It's like a sauna in here. See, that's that's exactly what it's like right there. So that's, I won't even tell you the album title because we'll get in trouble. I can't say it on the air. All right, brother. You doing all right?
I'm doing okay, yeah.
Okay, all right. We're praying for you on a regular basis. Who led Israel into Canaan? Who led them into it?
Yeshua.
That is correct, Amundo!
Joshua.
Joshua is the guy. So Moses was leading him towards it, but it was Joshua who led him in it. Excellent pickup on that. That was a really good job. Excellent work.
Thank
so,
you.
Still praying.
I have a prayer request. Pray for my younger brother. He's trying to apply for a Bible school in the UK, pray for all the paperwork, and he need a visa. So just pray.
Oh, that's a big one.
Help him if that's the place God wants him to be. So yeah, just pray.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it real fast. Let's do it right now. Father, we lift up to you right now, Samson's brother. He's got a situation. Maybe it's in the UK, Lord. Maybe that's just a wonderful place. If it is, please let the ducks fall in the line. That's the best way we can put it. Let him be able to get through and get it done. But if that's not the place, make it absolutely clear it's not, and open whatever door it is that you do have for him as he's seeking to develop more insight and wisdom in you and in your kingdom. Bless him and guide him and give him a great sponge of a mind so he may learn and use that knowledge to advance your kingdom. We ask you to bless that family, bless them all, and comfort their hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so very much.
You're welcome, bro. God bless you.
Okay. God bless and shalom.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. Okay, excellent phone call. Here we go. We're going to go into the text. Now, I got to think of how to do this. So I've got history, and I've got the jokes, and I've got the text. So how do we pull off? Should we pull off history real fast?
I think we should, Dave.
All right, let's pull off history real fast. It's not a complex history. All right, for those that don't know, today is Moon Day, the first moon landing on July 20th, 1969. I know there are moon landing deniers. I just understand that. I appreciate that. You know, I still fellowship with you. I'm just not going to buy into it, but that's fine. As National Ice Cream Soda Day, ice cream soda is pretty good. I like ice cream soda. Most people don't even know what that is. It's ice cream soda. It's a flavor. Or you can take soda and put ice cream in it.
So interesting.
Either one of those. Lollipop Day. Okay.
That's really good.
I have zero problem with that. National Fortune Cookie Day, and that's the classic where they say two things. One, and I actually had this for years and then lost it, but I actually physically had it, right? In God we trust, all others pay cash. Okay, so I had that as a fortune cookie. And then the classic one, help, I'm stuck in a Chinese fortune cookie factory and I can't get out. It's just so funny. All right, and then, so we already said that, 1969. Then the last thing to tell you is 1940, Billboard magazine published its first list of the most popular songs, and 1940, in the next week, Billboard magazine became as irrelevant as is possible. All right, so that's over with that. We're done with the history. Let's get into the text. Thank you very much. This is what I've been waiting for, and I'm just going to go right into it. Let's go to verse 20. Verse 19. Okay. They took him to the council of philosophers. Come and tell us more about this new religion. They said, you are saying some rather startling things, and we want to know what it's all about. It should be explained that all the Athenians, as well as the foreigners in Athens, seem to spend all their time discussing the latest ideas. So when the scripture says spending all their time, it doesn't mean they never ate, doesn't mean they never slept. They're just trying to give you this the understanding that people spent a great deal of time talking about different philosophies and ideas, right? So Paul, verse 22, Paul, standing before the council, addressed them as follows. Men of Athens, now watch. I notice that you are very religious. For as I was walking along, I saw your many altars. And one of them had this inscription, to an unknown God. You've been worshiping him without knowing who he is, and now I wish to tell you about him. Let's just stop. We would call this opportunity. So let me explain to you what's going on. He's in Athens, and Athens has every 30 feet some altar to somebody somewhere or something. And so one of the altars was to an unknown God. What is that? An open door. Why is that? Because Paul is now going to explain what that particular unknown God is. He's going to use that as a segue to share the gospel. The reason I bring that up is because this is how I got saved. My brother, I love my brother. Him and I talk once a week, and we've been talking once a week for 45 years. I mean, it's just, we are pretty close. Tells me what's good, tells me what's bad. You know, I tell him, stop being an idiot. That's my brother. That's the brother stuff, right? You get to do that with your brother, right? But when he first witnessed to me, he kept trying, kept trying, kept trying. I kept ignoring him, ignoring him, ignoring him, because he was driving me crazy. And then he touched in on an area that I was familiar with, which was the comic books. And he goes, don't they have somebody who's really good in comics? Don't they have somebody that's really bad? And then right away, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm like, yes. And then my brain and my heart and my being went, uh-oh, this is important. Tell me more. And so it's like, see, what happened is he found this area. And I don't think he found it. I think the Holy Spirit pushed him there. That's just my personal opinion. He knew about me. He was my brother. But found this area and then began to talk into the realm of that area that I already enjoyed. Well, that's exactly what Paul is doing. They have all these idols. Now, initially, when Paul saw it, it troubled him. Even Scripture even tells us he was troubled by all their idols. It says in verse 16. Now, he's taking what was troubling him and using it to his advantage to explain the gospel. It's like, and you think, well, that's because Paul was brilliant. That's because the Holy Spirit knows exactly how to speak to people. Does everybody get saved when that happens? No, but that's how people get saved. It's like right there, he has this opportunity. And now they're interested. Oh, you're talking about one of our idols? One of our little altar things that's offering to an unknown God? You're using what we have already connected to, and you're telling us, explaining what that is in greater detail? Tell us more. But that's how the Lord does it. And you don't have to be super snoopy detective, because that's what people say. We got to be like a detective, figure it out. If you're sensitive, you'll know what the person tags into. If you have somebody that's, and I've had this conversation, just in case you're wondering, not with a particular husband or somebody we know, but I've had this conversation with other family members, like saying, well, this family member believes that there's other life. And I'm like, cool. And then I go, so in other life, might there be somebody who's bigger, smarter, stronger than everybody else? Well, of course. Okay, see, now that's what we call a lay down. That's like, okay, it's over now. Why? Because then I get to share. Well, okay, let me tell you about him. It's just the idea for all of us to understand those opportunities to share. They're not dependent on us being smart and slick. They're dependent on us being sensitive. And people are looking. And you know what they're looking for? Well, the first thing they're looking for, no matter what anybody says, they're looking for hope. And Jesus is hope. And that's why you pray. That's why you're seeking. That's why you lean on him. That's why you turn to him. That's why you trust in him. That's why you give over your life to him. And, you know, when people think you're nutsy cuckoo and you're like, no, I have this hope, I believe. And so he takes this moment. He says, you're very religious. Now, if I had taught this message, I'd have said you're very religious in a super negative way, right? But he didn't do that. He goes, I notice you're very religious. He doesn't say, I notice you're very religious. By the way, you're idiots for that. He doesn't say that, okay? He could have, but he didn't. He just said, I notice you're very religious. I saw one of your many altars, the unknown God. Hey, let me tell you about this God that you don't know about. He didn't even go into it in the, he was so, it's not that he was smooth. He just didn't look to rip them to shreds. He looked to make the connection. Wouldn't that be a great way to witness?
And a little bit smooth, Dave. We give him a little
bit. Well, he's, okay, I'll give you that. He's a little smooth. Smooth like jazz. You know, that kind of thing. But it's like, he's like, hey, I'm going to share with you what you're trying to figure out. He definitely touched them where they were. Not just, do what I say, listen to what I say. Like, and that's kind of how some people teach and preach or even witness. Like, listen to what I'm saying. Everything I'm saying is right. It's like, okay, hey, you guys are really religious. Wow. And you got this altar thing. Hey, let me tell you a little bit about that. That should increase our sensitivity for sure.
Good point, Dave.
Yeah, that's what we should be doing. Okay, we'll take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. But I want to get this specific scripture, and it's really important. It's Romans chapter 4, verse 18 through 21. It says this, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it was said, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. Hey, it was not an impossibility. God gave him a promise when he was 75. It didn't get to fulfilled until he was 100. 25 years between promise and fulfillment. God made sure he was good and dead before the promise came about, so that when Isaac was born, everybody knew, it's amazing. It's a miracle. Exactly. And it wasn't that Abraham didn't know he was old. He faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, 99 before the conception took place, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Verse 20, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. It doesn't say that Abraham went through this and turned around and yelled at God and complained. He gave glory to God. He knew God could do this. And he believed that the promise that God had given him was important. And he held on to that, even though facing the fact, the circumstance was completely wiped out. Guess what? God showed up. I'm telling you right now, you can tell me all you want about circumstances and situations and your feelings and your processes, but I am telling you, when God shows up, according to Scripture and according to testimony, to the law and to the testimony, the Scripture says, to the prophets and to the testimony, here's what you got to be aware of. When God shows up, changes everything. And you're thinking, well, will that happen for Easton Scott? I hope so. But guess what? If my daughter spends her whole life believing, and Easton's whole life believing, that God can step in and this can change and that may yet happen, she's not done a bad thing. She's raised a child with this gracious hope. If God decides not to do that, instead of complaining about it, it's about giving glory to God, believing that he knows what is in our best interest, even when we don't understand. And yes, I get it. There are tough things. I went through a myriad of tough things, and I'm surprised. First of all, I'm surprised that I'm still alive. Second of all, I'm surprised that the Lord brought me through any of them. I don't deserve it. I'm not worthy of it. But he did it anyway. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Here's your last trivia question. We talked about this just the other week at length. Who sold his birthright for a bowl of stew? You know the only thing I have a hard time with this? It wasn't even a lobster dinner. It was just a bowl of stew.
But do you think it was birthday? Was it a good stew at least?
I don't know. I have my doubts. Anyway, who sold his birthright for a bowl of stew? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, David, at hemustincrease.org. That would be the answer. Somebody is ready to answer the trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
You're talking to Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm going to actually try and work out after this show kind of lightly. It's because I haven't been able to work out the last month or so and have a brace for my tennis elbow. So we'll see how that goes. I'm not sure that's going to work.
Good.
Well, just pray for me that I don't, pass out there and then they have to put me in a hospital or something. All right, anyway.
Oh, no.
Just kidding. All right, here we go. Who sold his birthright for a bowl of stew?
I believe it was Esau.
Esau is correct answer! All that. Gave up the big, big stuff for a quick fix. That is not the answer in life, right? That is not the way to do it. Excellent job, and keep us posted. How's Susie doing?
Oh, well, I haven't spoken to her, but I know she'll be doing better.
Okay, well, you keep us posted, too. We'll keep praying for her, okay?
Okay, thank you so much, and thank everybody else for their prayers, too.
You got it. God bless.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Here we go. We got to do our jokes, and then we'll finish up with the teaching. And, yes, I have to do the jokes, so we'll just keep it this simple. These are all dog jokes. Okay? We did cat jokes. We're doing dog jokes. Actually, that's not true. Three of them are dog. One of them is not. What goes peck? This is not a dog joke. What goes peck, bang, peck, bang, peck, bang? A bunch of chickens in a yard full of balloons. That was a good play right there. Good job on that one. What do little dogs sleep in when they go camping? In pup tents.
Why, you stuck up, half-witted, scruffy-looking.
What bone will a dog never eat? A trombone.
Oh, dear God, no.
Okay, and then here's the last one. It's a little longer, so you gotta let me get through it. A German shepherd went to the telegraph office to send a telegram. Woof, he wrote. Woof, 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 woof. Woof, 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 woof. The clerk looked at the message and said, there are only 9 words here. You could add one more woof for the same price. But the dog said, well, then it wouldn't make any sense. Then it wouldn't make any sense. That's right. That's right. Come on. Then it wouldn't make any sense. Okay. All right. I'm just living my own little planet. That's fine. Okay. Picking it back up to where Paul was talking about this. We'll pick it up in verse 23. As I was walking along, I saw your many altars, and one of them had this inscription on it: to an unknown God. You have been worshiping him without knowing who he is, and now I wish to tell you about him. He is, verse 24, the God who made the world and everything in it. Since he is Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live in man-made temples, and human hands can't serve his needs, for he has no needs. Uh-oh. Because we're going to get into this when we get into this next week deep, deep, deep. But listen to this. Paul is giving a defense. By the way, the word defense in the Greek is apologia, which is Greek for speaking in defense. And that's where we get the word apologetics. And including this is the observation that God does not dwell in man-made temples and that human efforts cannot fulfill his needs as he lacks nothing. He enables us to fellowship with him, but his existence is independent of us. This simple truth should humble those who seek to understand God's ways. Better stated, God doesn't need you. God wants you, but he doesn't need you. And so Dee and I were talking before the show even started. Some people, they go to church, they think they're doing God a favor by going to church. Wrong. You might be helping the pastor out, you might be helping the church out, but you're not doing God any favors, okay? God doesn't have needs the way we have needs. In our finite life, if we can't get a need met, our brain starts to freak out. Okay, that is true. It happens a lot. But in God's economy, where he exists, he is not in that position to have those needs. And no human being could serve whatever needs he even could have. A human could never fulfill it. It wouldn't even matter. The point of the apologetic, the point is making this statement, is to understand this level with whom we have to deal with. And so Noelle and I were talking, and it's just amazing. So we were talking a little bit about the book of Revelation, just very briefly this morning as I was finishing up some of my devotions. I was in Revelation 18. And in Revelation 18, before you tell me any interpretations, I'm not trying to get an eschatology out of this, but it talks about the angel that his glory touches the earth. So then there's some commentators who think that that's got to be a reflection of God. Some people think it's just a very powerful angel, blah, 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 blah. And so what Noel and I talked about was this simplistic point. We think we understand armies and powers and beings. Because, you know, we have presidents and kings and powers and countries and armies and so on and so forth. I'm telling you that especially if you will use scripture as your base, which you should be doing all the time since God wrote it for us to use it as the base, you know, Bible basic instructions before leaving earth, that's what Bible stands for. So the idea is to understand this, God's realm is so much, we think we know armies, we don't know anything. We're the dumb, you know, new kids on the block? We're the dumb kids on the block. Just call it what it is. God is so far above. In fact, that should really help us appreciate that Jesus became one of us, because to become one of us was an exceedingly large demotion. So I'm just saying what I'm trying to get is a huge sacrifice. And so understand this. Paul's like going, look, let's just start here. This unknown God that you're talking about, I'll tell you right now, he doesn't have needs. You can't feed the idol. You can't go to the altar and provide for the idol. Can't happen because he doesn't need it. God wants us. He doesn't need us. And there's a whole teaching. Well, he couldn't exist without us. He did exist without us, and he can exist without us. So you can't say he couldn't because he already did. So the point in bringing this up is just for all of us to really take a proper, humble disposition. This is the first thing Paul is telling all of these philosophers. Hey, here's one for you. This unknown God, he don't need you. It's like, wait, what? And you know what that does? That reduces the pride. And it enhances the general appreciation of being wanted. See, God doesn't need you, but he took a large step to show you he wants you. That's how much he loves you. I know, all the theology, all this, all that. Hey, God loves you and wants to spend time with you. How about just leaving it there going, cool. Somebody loves me, right? All right. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Taking a 22.5-hour break, and then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then. Destroying everyone
and everything we find. Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.